other dimensions. Be life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvia.
Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week, through our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss various topics of interest and take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us. In the most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world. When my husband Nick deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who has great knowledge and wisdom. This week's show is about karma.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on bloginservice.com and bbsradio.com on Mondays at 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time and Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have another radio show which is Spirit Teaching. And you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you would like to know more about us or our books, please do go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. What we are able to do as spirit mediums is to offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. And when I go into deep trance, Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, will borrow my body for the duration of the show, and I won't know anything else that happens because my spirit and my consciousness are transported to somewhere else. So I'll say goodbye for this week, and it should only take a few seconds before Gregory Hay is here. Have a great show.
Thanks, Mick. Yes, the information that we bring on this show is always without religious bias or persuasion, and we believe in everyone's right to their own views and beliefs. Gregory had an earth life 300 years ago, but has continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world, and now he comes to share his wisdom with us for our benefit. The White Cloud Group, whom he represents, were formed to bring us knowledge that will hopefully steer us toward a more peaceful and harmonious future. Our aim is to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others, and to hopefully restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. And I'd just like to say that I'd like to mention our books, actually, that are available on our website. And they are The Spirit Within, Spirit Walks with Gregory, The Soul Group, Its Meaning, Magic and Imagery, and Journeys of the Inner Songbird. And as I say, you can find out lots about us on our website, which is spirit-teaching.com. So,
hello, dear Faith.
Hello, Gregory.
Hello, dear Faith. But once again, then, it is with the utmost love that we are here, and I am so pleasured and honoured, as always, to be able to speak with you this day. Thank you so much for inviting us, all of us, from the White Cow Group to be here to bring in our understanding and our knowledge. Those things we have learnt in physical life and continue to learn in the spirit world, because creation continues to exist as the consciousness strives to gain greater understanding.
And that leads us into our talk this week, that you're going to talk to us about karma.
Yes, absolutely so. Karma in itself is something of a mystic identity of what you would think the cause and effect of behavior would attain to your life. Now, many people will have different views upon what karma really is, and some of these views may err towards religious understanding, theosophy of some form or another, may echo different strains of thought and ways in which retribution or the alignment of judgment may come to one another through the causes and effects of their actions. This, of course, may even be illuminated as being a roundabout of life upon life, of one way in which some people view how their expectancy, if they do not create sufficiently in this present life they are having, that they can simply come back and do it all again.
Yes, reincarnation and karma tend to go hand in hand, don't they?
Indeed, they do. Perhaps that is because both stem from the Buddhistic way of viewing life. Some would cite perhaps that karma is something that deserves little in knowledge, perhaps because so many people born in physical life do not remember anything of a past life, do not recall it. Therefore, for those few who do, is it to say then that they are more enlightened by their memory? Is it to say that they are blessed with it, or are they cursed with it? Because what they are doing, in fact, is regurgitating memory they can do nothing about. Can you say then that on the face of all things, whatever action you create in your physical life now is always going to be faced in a following life? How can you possibly look upon society or civilization you have at this time in your life and say there are those people who are using or being affected in their lives because of the facts of karmic voyage that are happening to them from previous lives, when many do not actually realize it or even empathize with it? Karma itself appears to be that some beings are destructive in their life and perhaps unrelated do not see any worry over what karma they may create, simply because they do not care, as whatever happens in this life can only treat them thus far. It means, quite simply, they perhaps do not have any worry or conclusion over karma, because that, after all, is going to be something that will face them in another life, and therefore it isn't of their concern. So people can view it this way. Quite simply, it may or may not work for them. Other people will essentially face karma head on and will try to manipulate life around it. Does it mean to say, dear friends, that all of what you do in your life now is going to bring about a real conclusion, is going to ascend you to the dizzy steps of spirituality? Many people on your side of life face every day trials of decision-making and judgment, because, after all, isn't karma about judgment? Isn't that to do with your own inner morality and how you face your day, how you respond to demands made upon you and those you make upon others? These are all about judgments, decisions, and your intention to create the existence, if you like, of your world, what you want it to be, how you wish to react with situations and events around you.
If you care greatly about the karma you inflict upon others, is it in fact going to have a long-lasting effect upon you? To begin with, dear friends, you must understand that your reactions, your decisions that you do make, do have a very real effect now this minute, the moment you make them. At the time when you bring thoughts into your mind and you become animated by those thoughts and decisions you have made, you are in fact creating your own karma just by thoughts, because thoughts are living things. Now therefore, if you then take those thoughts and force them into action in the physical world, you are in fact inflicting a karmic voyage upon all things you interact with. This simply means that by doing and enacting these situations, you are in fact bringing about your decision and impacting upon others' lives. Will it be, do you think, every moment you take upon your journey of life will spread seeds of doubt in others' minds as to your sanity, or will bring joy and happiness, smiling faces, to those you meet, simply because your decision-making or the interaction you face in your physical life is something that brings positivity and joy and upliftment to all you meet? Will that then mean you establish your karmic road as being paved with gold, as being this well-lit pathway you can see to travel upon? So many avoid the chances they may take simply because they fear their own karma. Does that mean to say then that this is a kind of stick and carrot, that it perhaps marshals you into a certain sense of responsibility and morality? It may well be you will define symptoms in your mind, ideas and thoughts that will cause you negativity, to actually dismiss them. Does this mean then it will enhance your decision making? Is this a process that is learnt behavior through parental guidance, or something that is an innate quality within you? To be absolutely, completely honest, dear friends, it has to be that in your journey of life, what you create now, this moment, will be something that will come upon you in the return journey of your mind, of your consciousness in reflecting upon it. This journey may be something that is reenacted even that present evening from the actions you've created in your day. It may be then you have a restless sleep simply because you are disturbed by your own negative actions which created karmic signals in your mind, triggering off various uncomfortable feelings which have left you bereft of sleep. Quite simply then, you have caused your own karmic retribution all in one day. For some, of course, they will not have this conscious feeling, simply because they may dismiss the negative situations they put upon others because they do not claim responsibility for them. For some, it may be that they act negatively simply because they can, because they feel no one is going to make a judgment upon them, because they are beyond that feeling. There are many selfish beings on your side of life who create this conscious karmic decision of destruction within their walk of life, and I pity them. I really do. I feel emotional positivity in my day, in my walk of life, simply because I am trying my very best to attenuate my feelings and my responses to people's needs by giving what love I have and creating more if I don't have enough. Quite simply, I am trying to bring about my best positivity to all effects, all situations I may create, because all times and moments of my own thought, I am aware not only of who I am, but what damage I may inflict if I create disharmonic courses. If I upset the timing balance between physical reality, people's conscious minds and abilities to perceive something beyond themselves or something they may gain, in that case, I will have assisted a good positive prospect to become not giving in the way I want them to, but giving in the way they wish to find for themselves, because perhaps I have enabled their awareness to grow in their own light, within their own window upon their future. It is not to say that I am trying to force my karmic attribute upon them or upon any of you. It is your decision as to how you reflect upon the courses and actions you create in your physical life and in your spiritual identity. Do these spiritual awakenings you feel then actually offer you guidance of upper house morality or of the higher conscious state simply because it is something worthwhile to achieve, or because it will help to placate karmic identities you have possibly faced in a previous life? My dear friends, if you have to look upon karma as being something from some previous life, it means to say you do not ever have a free will experience. It means to say you are sharing a karmic voyage which has increased the intensity of how you may react to your life, or how you may fail to react to it. Many people in certain religious feelings may cite different approaches. They may say that an affliction of physical state, that someone who has become in some way entangled in their physical state, mutated in an awkward way, that they have some crippling, painful disease, is purely because some karmic reaction from a previous life source has brought them to this place. Therefore, then they are shown to be as some kind of icon for that karmic retribution.
Yes, that all suffering is deserved on the basis of bad karma. You know, a baby born without legs or a woman that's raped, then obviously it's something that is a just consequence of something that they did previously in their life.
Yes, my dear friend, it is as though there is some great creativity which is handing out judgment to those who are otherwise completely innocent and unknowing of whatever previous voyage is supposed to have sustained them or brought them to this place. How can that be a form of equal justice?
Well, and also morality comes in there. I mean, how are we supposed to pity somebody in those instances if you're looking at it in the way that they deserved it? Because that's...
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's the punishment.
How can you possibly say then that you can express love toward this being if they have been so afflicted? Hmm. That is as though you are saying they are paying the price for their own credible negative actions they've created knowingly, and yet they are completely innocent in the life they have before you, because obviously they know nothing of it. And how can one person who is looking at this point from afar or from outside attain this judgment themselves in saying that this is the threat of karma, that this is something due to you because of your own fault? Does that mean to say this innocent babe has to look within itself, struggle to find the karmic voyage that created it? Is that surely not the case? You are, in fact, intrinsically denying the process of genetics, the way in which mutation actually works, not through some grand design, not through the conscious effort of someone to force your genetics to be twisted and produce the twisted being that you are. It is untenable to think or to force someone into this room where no love, where no real understanding and encouragement can come. This is because you are forcing this being into a place of decay of thought. What we are saying then, dear friends, is for people to inflict their thoughts of karmic voyage upon others as a kind of act of redemption simply means they do not understand what karma really is. Many religions and theocracies tend to visit karma and at times explain it as being a way of controlling population and their morality into performing in a certain harmonic way or in a way they envisage or have decided for themselves people should behave. Perhaps it's a way that they can have an easier life or that they can inflict their own opinions upon others. And I myself am not here inflicting my opinion on you. You can simply turn this off if you wish, if you cannot bear to listen. That is your karmic wonder. It is your decision, your free will in your life now to be able to understand and adopt whichever principles you feel in your life you can bring about, that you can take within this step, or that you can actually ferment in your mind and leave for another day's decision.
The crux of the matter as well is that people, it's an easy analogy answer, if you like, for is death the end of existence? And it's something that is simplistic, really, even though for people to understand. Do you know what I mean? Because they can't have a concept of anything else beyond the grave, really, because they can't imagine the spirit world and the absolutely immense makeup of it, the possibilities.
Yes, of course.
So they grasp that everything has got to do with the earth plane, so it's all surrounded around the earth.
Of course. It is as though, to many, that the earth plane happens to be the magnet of life. All life comes from and must return to the earth plane.
Mm.
Therefore, it means that through this thought process, the whole roundabout of life has to attain that all beings, once they have passed, must come back again in order to continue their journey, that they cannot possibly continue their journey in the spirit world. For one thing, that perhaps they will run out of the energy, because only so much energy continues to last from the time that you passed until the time that you reincarnate into another forced body.
And these change as well, don't they? These times of when you're going to run out of energy.
Well, yes, quite so.
Supposedly.
Yes, you know. And this is because people, human beings, do not understand the fact you can continue to create, and you did create before you had a physical life, ever. Before you were the person you are. Before you were the person you were born as being in the physical state.
I think that's it. They can't imagine themselves as being a person before they were here, so they have to reincarnate into many different bodies to recreate themselves.
Yes, but that is because people do not identify with personality because they feel personality only has an identity with human existence.
Yeah.
Or even perhaps, as some would have it, within the reality of other existences as other animals, but still anchored to the earth itself. This particular little system that you live in. In point of fact, the whole essence of why you are here is not just to try to make up for past deeds you did last time. In fact, is nothing to do with your deeds last time, because your life continues to evolve and change. From the moment you were born, you can see your life began, that before its existence, you were another previous life in a previous occupancy of a type or form, depending on your religious persuasion. It may well be that how you feel about yourself at this moment isn't particularly pleasant. Your feelings do not come from some previous bad karmic voyage. You are not feeling you were have a sore throat because you were strangled in a previous life, or God forbid that you were hung. You do not have a withered arm because you created some evil act in a past life existence. Your withered arm is there because of your genetic mutation did not take in the alignment of cells that would produce what you determine as being normality. Normality is something you envisage as your typical state of reality. Therefore, for some beings, they genetically become difficult to reason with because they are there upon your landscape. It isn't how they feel themselves. They feel they have to cope with and deal with as best they are able. So they bring about their own courage, their own design, their own will. This, their own lack of reasoning, as well as their own triumph. Just the very fact that they have the courage to survive. And understand they, even in their withered form, may attain something else. I understand there may also, of course, be those who shudder in great pain, who have great dealings with physical injury. Is this to do with some karmic voyage? Many would perhaps look upon some who create great negative harm and yet appear to travel through life unscathed. They are not touched by it one little bit, could not care less of whether they inflict harm or damage to someone else, make them cry, take their life, inflict gross physical harm purely because of their lust. Does that to say their negativity they create is going to be something the karmic decision maker on the other side will continue and force them to recreate in another life, causing them great harm and suffering? How is this going to benefit anyone? How is this going to benefit that soul, that spirit? Does it mean the physical being will engage closer or be more unified by their physical state and their spirit because of the suffering they commit to in their life? I cannot think. I cannot reveal in my own decision-making, in my own emotion, anything so dour, so crass, could come about through divine judgment. What form of judgment is that? Are we saying here that karma is something that does not have morality, is something that actually does not contain emotion itself, is motionless, has no love, has no hate, has no feelings, does not care of sensitivity or pain? Is karma something that brings avoidance of suffering or creates it? What we must try to understand, dear friends, is that the karmic voyage people face in their life is something that is
reactive
now, and whether you accept it or not is a matter of your free will. It turns you into the being you wish to be, then continue creating the karma you feel is justified to suit your needs.
I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery and we're talking about karma. Welcome to you. Yes, I can't imagine anything worse than being disabled or somebody who is so unlucky in their life to actually have to only have the only option of belief taught to them, that they have to keep coming back and again to gain this possible enlightenment that the people that are telling them about it claim to have. Because that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, people that teach this way of life very often are standing from an observation in their own mind anyway, that they are obviously already elevated enough to be able to teach people about this.
Yes, quite
so. And that they've obviously not got a lot of karma because they are serene and great teachers already.
And whole.
And whole.
They are intact.
Yes, so they are giving themselves their own label of, aren't they, of worthiness.
Of perfection, in fact.
Mm.
Does that mean that through this divine source, they are able to instill in them some courage, that they actually should look on the bright side of life, perhaps? They too may one day aspire to be this fine upstanding being. That they too one day may have all their cells in proper alignment. All of their brainwave function will be acutely aware of all things and not dysfunctionate in the way that they perceive at this present.
Yep.
It is as though people try to identify with being beautiful or being perfect examples of species or whatever, in order to donate exactly what you consider a perfect specimen to be.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean then you would wish to only keep that specimen for the procreation of humanity? No, it is not. It simply means that that is another mutation that actually turned out where all their cells aligned, whereas other mutations do not. Perhaps it may just be a small thing, dear friends. It may be that your nose is crooked, or your eyes are not completely level or adjusted in perspective to your face. It may be that you only have one lip, or that your mouth is at a different angle. It may be that your limb is twisted for some reason, and that, in point of fact, you cannot identify how your cells manage to do that. Perhaps the pain that is inflicted by these malformations bring about memories of what exactly it was that you did do in a previous life to cause such infliction. I think not. Therefore, how can one identify with sanctimonious clarity that the reasons and causes for their suffering are through some karmic voyage or dysfunction of their own spirituality?
Yes, on one side there are people that are uplifted by the fact that there is continuation of life in this way. It gives them great comfort. And then there's the others that actually will find that to be a burden because of the weight of the world as it is with them at the moment.
Yes, quite so. How can one justify the other?
That's right.
And it tends to be that those who have become spiritually uplifted, or whatever, for whatever reason, have merely come to the conclusion they are that way simply because they have come to the precipice of enlightenment.
Hmm. And we've taken on, really, an Eastern religious viewpoint in the Western world. And I'm not saying any one viewpoint on religion is better than another, but it's funny that certain parts of certain religions are taken on board.
And others conveniently left behind because they do not fit or do not suit the needs or the thought patterns that have been worked out around it.
Mm.
Perhaps some facets of it feel a little too uncomfortable if one is directing oneself through the, how can I say, the purest form of karmic voyage. Perhaps there are certain situations and illuminaries during that which people find distasteful or unpalatable, and so conveniently, quietly discard them. It isn't to say that the way people react in their physical life at this moment in time is not going to have an effect upon their journey. Obviously, these effects may come very quickly. It may be that because you did not pay attention to your inner voice, perhaps, that things happen in spite of it, or in spite of your attention to them. Things that you already knew were going to be created because you began the ball, started it rolling down the slippery slope. It is as though you have a visitation of what is to come, in a way, in a sense, in slow motion, as you are actually carrying it out. For some people, karma may actually react in that way. And I suppose with those with that kind of sensitivity, it means you can actually explore further this experience and perhaps become more aware of decisions which may affect your karma in your life. It may well be, dear friends, that with the best heart and intention of all life, with the best will of the world, not heaped upon your shoulders, but wishing to succeed, that you, perhaps blindly or mistakenly, create bad karma for someone else. Could this be you then deserve a punishment for it, for the lapses of control of your mind? Whose decision is it to inflict this karma upon you, or is it a self-made revelation that comes simply because your own lack of judgment or foresight in 1 second actually brought a decision of change that may one day be irreversible, or that you may try to give back and pretend it never happened? Some people make mistakes in their life simply because they make mistakes. They do not necessarily mean it, do not necessarily try to throw these different thoughts and feelings of their life into disarray. It just happens. Perhaps they are not paying greatest attention to the details of their thoughts or their actions. Karma really is your decision-making in action in reverse. It is as though you are making a decision and that it will come back to you, in spite of anything that you try to do after the event to avoid it. After your decision has been made, does it mean then that you have cast this excursion out, this thought and feeling, into the ether world, to be haunted by it within your return journey, or to be haunted by it within the crossing over time? The time when you are in the spirit world, which of course may be for ever and ever, for infinity. Or it may be that you take another step somewhere else.
But not here.
Indeed not.
Would you like to go into that more?
Well, not at this particular time, dear friend.
Okay.
Perhaps it will be something that we can reflect on at another time.
Okay.
I feel, therefore I know I am. If I feel this, does it mean I have arrived at my time of oneness? Have I created karma in order to feel this? Or has it just come upon me? Have I ascended the step to attain this one state? Or am I trying to prescribe my state of being upon someone else? Am I trying to find, as a being, that my karma has placed me here, therefore I must have done something good in my previous life? Or is it purely because I have, with duty of care, wished to consolidate that which I know with an open mind, an open window into the reality of what I cannot perceive? If you yourself, as a human being, as a spirit entity, wish to rise into the presence of oneness, of being, can you honestly say at that moment you may set aside the feelings, all manner of being you have attained that led you to this point? Surely all decisions you created in your life, all ways forward or side steps or actions that you took, is it to say that these were a step backward? Were they to bring you to this worthy point or place in time? Does it mean by this present state of being you exist within at this time, that all journey you have made, all experience gained, all images and retention in your mind have caused your possible enlightenment? So therefore, it means what you wish to do is to teach them all of these lessons you have learned, to teach others all of these trials and tribulations you have faced, in order that they too may bring it upon their lives. Isn't that what many religious bases are formed upon. The description of one soul and their journey to make good their life, to enable others to understand pathways they may create to gain greater access, not just to freedom, to good karma and judgment, but the upper house morality that helps decision-making become more beautified. Is it not to say, dear friends, the way you feel at this present time can either be a testament to your knowledge, your gathering of consciousness, or that it is as an epitaph to your reluctance to change? Perhaps you have forced your path through your life and refused to be addled in either way, in either direction. You see, it may be just that because you perceive your actions and the things that have happened to you in your life have created your enlightenment, or the state of oneness of being that you feel at this present moment, doesn't mean to say if these same actions were inflicted upon someone else, or your morality was their morality, that they would behave in the same way. They are free will beings, in just the same as you, and one person's understanding or affliction does not mean that all others have to face the same affliction to become at that same state of being. I hope that you understand this. It is a crucial identity for human beings to understand their own individuality, that you do not all have to look the same, have the same moustache, hairdo, the same way in which you wear clothes, or wear the same colours of clothing, that you need to do this in order to attain this one state of beauty, because you must follow one another's footsteps like sheep, or because you follow everyone else's karmic voyage diligently, noting their shames, noting their times when they are non-responsive or when they have acted in bad taste. This is something, my dear friend, that you will need to bring about for your own self state of awareness. It must come from within you to identify those situations, actions you put upon others that bring about negativity to the way you react, bring about harm to others and the way they act when around you. It may mean, brothers and sisters, there is no shame in your life that you are not poorly illuminated because you cannot see. You just need to use different eyes, different ways to view the same window or to view your window in your life. Some people may only be able to move with wheels on their legs, where legs should be. This is no cause of their own karma they have created. After all, it may have been created by someone else and their lack of action, their injustice or bad foresight, that they did not see the consequences of their thought and decision in their life, how it would impact upon you as a wrecked individual lying in the street after having been struck by a motor vehicle or whatever. After, as it was, I was the end of a road traffic accident, an early one at that. Can I honestly say that I encouraged it in my life when I was run over by a coach and four horses? Can I say that this interaction that I had in my life was something that I regretted, that I didn't see it coming? So was that my fault I did not see it coming, or was it the lack of foresight of the driver of the carriage? Did it mean to say they continued to lack foresight because they never stopped afterward? Or that I had to face the karma I created in that way because of my behavior within my life that far? Human beings are very good at silently agreeing and nodding at various ways in which they may reach decisions that benefit them, because that is something that perhaps collectively they feel sates their way or their look, their genetic collective, if you like, that they feel beautified and therefore will honour this thought process because it helps to and aids their beauty from within.
You talked about upper house morality earlier on. Could you explain a little about what you mean by that?
I will try. Upper house morality is where you connect with your spirit identity, and this connection creates a different vantage point for you to observe your life in, which alters your decision-making process as it aligns your thoughts closer to your own spiritual identity. It means basically that you do not have to have someone to tell you what is right and what is wrong, because your own inner awareness creates that pathway to show you how to change your life.
Right. Okay, so it's a state of being.
Yes.
That you sort of transcend to.
Yes, and that does not mean to say, of course, people who are in some way poorly blessed genetically do not have the chance to attain upper house morality. Clearly, this is something all may aspire to reach and will reach if they allow themselves to. It is to do really with the intricate connection which is enhanced through meditation, which is brought about more warmly through loving awareness and giving of self in the service to others. In the service of others, so that they may benefit not by your wisdom as some pious hack, but actually through the benefit of purely you giving for selfless reasons.
It sounds like it's the opposite to coming from the basis of ego.
Absolutely so. If you come from a platform of ego, you are anointing yourself with your own worth. You are placing your own worth in front of every action you create. This is something that can be quite distasteful when looked at by others, when observed by others. Naturally, you would really wish to try to use the form, the energy of ego, for the ways in which it will help you in material life. This isn't to say that ego is something to be shuddered over and set aside completely. You are material beings, and in effect, you will have certain elements of what are determined as ego because your instinct will demand it. The pressures people put on your life make, or force, should I say, force ego to rise above all other things, to enable you to enact, cause your wishes.
Yes, I mean, we do need ego to a certain extent, or else we wouldn't even be able to keep up with our life, really.
Exactly so. It is, I suppose, a way in which humanity has evolved thus far into the civilization you have at certain times and in certain countries on your side of life. I wouldn't say that it is something that is a blanket approach across the whole of your planet. Doesn't signify for every single life. Some people live in simplicity and do not have the containment of ego or have to contend with that facet or energy in their life. It means have a more simple attitude. Perhaps are able to give in more ready ways to one another. This is, of course, one of the attitudes that come about when people allow their ego to dissipate and only really call upon it when it is really needed.
What about earth karma?
Well, that is actually something quite difficult to decipher, quite simply because you would ordinarily consider the earth to be an inanimate being.
Yes.
Something that is not, does not have arms and legs, cannot create extensions of self-harm or worthiness. cannot create mind or the utilities to be able to orchestrate something from nothing. After all, the Earth planet itself, yes, is a breathing, living organism to the point of fact that it is a collection of minerals and gases, a combination of harborings of different life forms in order to facilitate and accentuate certain paths of its progress. Its growth, if you like, is all about the way in which different vegetation, different animals and different other life forms are able to abundantly, clearly live upon it, and then, once they have passed, are returned to it, so forming this detritus matter on its surface. Surely it means then that this is an interactive, complete species in itself, that it is not just an environment that creates this form. It isn't just the presence of itself which enables its expression in the different forms of species that come about, that are born upon it. The Earth does not react in a particular way because of the causes and effects brought about by other beings or species living upon it. It appears to create its effects in spite of other beings or what they do. Many effects that are created are through atmospheric conditions, which are controlled to a certain extent by the solar wind or by other universal applied physics and laws. Other bodies that have a strategic effect upon it have also an implication to many who live on your side of life. Now, it may well be, dear friend, that how you observe the planet may be that it is reacting in some way to you. Earth changes come about, rise up, and sometimes some species may exacerbate Earth's problems purely and simply because they do not understand the environmental mechanic behind it. If you keep a creature in a pen, give it no food and water, it will have violent turns whilst it is becoming deranged through its lack of input, through its lack of energy-giving recycled requirements, the energy of food, the way in which water refreshes certain situations within the animal, so it begins to inwardly decay from this lack of vibrant force and interactivity. What exactly happens with the Earth and its changes are as some kind of a karmic voyage, I suppose, to do with the way in which human beings themselves react and have continued to react over a very short space of time. This means then, I suppose, that in a way, human beings will tend to reflect upon this region of life, this time of your life, as a form of answer, if you like, to previous generations' behavior and their decision-making. It is as though the Earth itself is playing its own karma upon humanity, which in fact is something that is quite different. It is that humanity as a species has its own karma to face, which is retrograde, which is something that cannot be altered quickly, because you must understand that planetary karma is something that is very slow, although complete. It will always come to the state of equilibrium. So that is why we are saying that whatever actions you create, you must create better ones than you created yesterday or last week. You must have greater design for those actions you create, because if you do not, and your planet continues to fall into decay, then those generations who will follow will have to face the karmic voyage you have unleashed through your behavior.
Which is the sort of thing that we're sharing now.
Exactly so.
As well as making our own.
As well as continuing to make your own. Yes.
So we've got about another 5 minutes left or so. Do animals have karma?
Animals themselves, if they have a conscious decision to make, will make a good decision, or perhaps will make a wrong decision. One simple wrong turn may mean that they become the food of someone else. Or it may be the equivalent to their continued existence. Could one say that this is really due to karma, or is it part of their instinctive journey they have to face of being a physical being, of having that state? We are not trying to place that those thoughts and feelings human beings face because of their intellect or interest in their upper house morality are something that will be assigned to every other being. Otherwise, surely you would say that if you have a being which is basically its whole needs are to do with a cycle of industrialized farming, can you say then that the sheep in the field have a bad karma because every single one of them will one day end up as a slab of meat for someone else to eat? In the wild, will it be that those sheep escape their karmic voyage from one day to another only to eventually arise to it at their untimely parting? Perhaps because they have fallen prey to a lion or something else. Karma is something that you willingly or unnecessarily, I suppose, bring about to yourself. It is through the design and the understanding of intelligence and intellect, the way in which you may occupy your space and make a decision about that space. So you could say that many animals have decision-making properties. They are able to decide one thing and another thing. And in making that decision, they bring karma upon themselves, because if that decision was right, then they live to fight another day. If it wasn't, then they don't. It's as simple as that.
Yes, it's slightly different, well, quite different to our karma, isn't it?
Yes, quite so. And I suppose you must understand that the degree of intellectual ability or the degree of a being to fully understand or even slightly be aware that a decision they make will actually affect their continued survival. If that decision is a correct one, you can justly say they have made good karmic effect for their journey. And they are happy that they have survived it.
Yes. Well, once again, time's got the better of us, Gregory. Thank you very much. That was really interesting.
Thank you, my dear friend. With all love, as always, we tread our path with diligence. And we try to observe ways forward. We may all step into the light. And with love, we leave.
Thank you. Goodbye. And I'd like to mention our website again for people that don't know about us. It's www.spirit-teaching.com. On it are our books, and you can get our books from bookstores on Amazon.com, and as well as Spirit's Work Radio Show on bloggingservice.com on Mondays and Thursdays. We also have the Spirit Teaching Radio Show on artistfirst.com on Tuesdays. Details are on our site. So we hope you've enjoyed the show, and thank you for listening. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a service.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.